Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to a new episode of KFWF Radio. This is the world's first and only combination trivia host and professional wrestling announcer of Chilean descent that currently resides in Southern California, your stunningly stupendous student of stupidity, Ozzy V. And with me, as always, Greg, how are you?
Pretty good.
Fantastic. I hope you have a nice chilled, frothy beer by your side.
Dan, you know it.
Dan, your hat, I assume, is in fantastic shape. How are you?
I'm doing well. I had pina coladas on the beach with my hat today, so I'm happy.
Did you have a pina colada served in the hat?
I did not.
No, we're not being creative.
What about served to the hat, since you were having it with your hat?
Mm. I should have. It's a big hat.
It's a little mouth. Kind of like the sorting hat kind of got kind of.
I hope Margaritaville. I hope there's a high wind one day when you're out on the boat.
You can't take it. It's got a string, Todd. I can tie it.
Oh, God. Are you f***ing... Jesus.
You're just making more work for yourself.
Potty mouth, Todd.
Oh, I'm sorry. The hat brought it out of me.
I apologize for Todd. He's just vulgar. And
I made it a minute this week.
Todd is the producer who is always chilling, except when he makes himself have to do more work.
Yeah.
And that's the only time he's not so chill.
No pina colada for you, Todd.
Mostly chill. Although I will say that if on a windy day, because here's the thing, Southern California, you can be walking down the street and all of a sudden, it gets windy for there's this giant gust of wind. You wouldn't be prepared for that. If your hat flew off, I would pay money to see that reaction. I'd pay good money. Now, ladies and gentlemen, if this is your first time listening, and even if this is your multiple time listening, this is confirming that you're going to get nothing but stupidity here on the show. That's what I promised. That's what I said. Stunningly stupendous student of stupidity. It's for a reason. I bathe in the stupid, and I like to talk about the stupid. And we got some stupid with weird news. I got a mega E3 story that is hilarious, and I'll get into more detail, and then we got a stupidly deep question. But now we're going to start with the weird news. Very interesting stuff happened in Florida 2 weeks ago, Cutler Bay specifically. Now, heavy rains had forced several blue land crabs to roam around a resident's backyard and home. So now technically God controls the weather, right? And the weather caused several blue land crabs to populate this woman's home. So in essence, God gave this lady crabs. there's no other way to look at it. Now they are blue land crabs, but still crabs. And maybe blue crabs are mental crabs, they affect your intellect, something like that. But I would not imagine blue crabs. I didn't even know there were blue crabs.
I think Todd probably gave her crabs personally, but you know.
We've all been in quarantine, Dan.
I was gonna say, does that mean they're sad?
Oh man. I would expect that from Greg, but man, it's been rubbing off. No, another story.
That's the way to avoid crabs.
Bingo.
Hi-o.
All right. So this next one, it's a USB stick that's being sold as a 5G bio shield. Where you plug this into your computer and it creates a 5G shield, right? And it's being sold for £283 or $350 United States dollars. You need to have your head examined if you're looking at buying one of these. Now, what's interesting is these are actually actual doctors that had been working in clinical pharmacy and whatnot. What was interesting is I'm going into super futuristic thing right now. So one of them worked as an ambassador for a Swiss research group, which is collaborating with universities in three countries to convert harmful frequencies into a revitalization field favorable to the human body. Now, the 5G thing, this BioShield, sounds kind of crazy. However, when you hear that universities in three countries are working towards something that can't be like bunk science, there's got to be like, I mean, this seems like the happening in the beginning of a superhero movie. Like somebody's going to get this ability, and this is where like stuff gets crazy. I think we've already gone to like that futuristic point where you got to go outside and be around people. You should wear a face mask, or at least for like a few weeks we had that happen. It's kind of futuristic in one sense. This might be the next futuristic thing. I just went off on a mini rant. I apologize. Didn't let you guys speak up on that. But yeah, 5G BioShield for $350. It's kind of crazy.
So Dan, it's a literal shield? Like
Dan was Captain America's shield?
So it claims to produce like it's so full of BS that I can't even, it doesn't make sense. But the website is going to be on the description if you'd like to check it out yourself. 5GBioShield.com. Not a sponsor. It sounds moronic, but if you want to look at it, because for entertainment purposes, there it is for you. Definitely stupid.
You say that, and next week we're going to be sponsored, and we're all going to have our shields.
If we're getting paid, who cares, I guess.
That's right. Right. Here's the thing, though. I just spent $300 on a haptic feedback vest. So for a full 5G shield, I'm sorry. Like, price point-wise, it's one of those, if this were real technology, that price would be too good to be true.
Just to ensure everybody's on the same page, you guys understand, like, Dan, Todd, are you familiar with a haptic shield, you said, right, Greg?
Haptic feedback vest.
Feedback vest. You guys know what that is?
I do not.
So it's a Kickstarter project that's, or GoFundMe, one of these
crowdfunded projects.
Yeah, yeah.
But basically, you plug it into your game system, and you get extra vibrations in game. Like, and it's supposed to basically think Ready Player One. Like, that's where it's getting. You know what I mean? Kind of crazy. And
for games,
always got the pornography on the mind.
Here's the thing. It only works on the chest and back area. You know, so it's not stimulating anything else.
So there goes Dan's putting his wallet back in his pants.
There's hope.
Until version 5. Version 5.
It's going to be Ex Machina now. That'll be the next one. It's going to happen.
If a little money gets made with this, then it'll go in that direction. That's just how technology rolls.
Have you guys seen the new Space Force show on Netflix yet?
Oh, no, I heard about it, though.
There's a great bit where he talks about being able to shake hands with people from around the world. And there's a way you can, you know, actually feel someone trying to shake your hand. And the bit within that is, yeah, they're going to use that for your hand. That's so highly suggest watching the show.
That doesn't feel like five fingers.
Holy Toledo. Okay, now, last story. This one kind of angered me to a tiny extent, mainly because I just talked about people wasting 283 British pounds or 350 US dollars, but the newest miniature Rolls-Royce is more expensive than my actual car. Now, the newest actual Rolls-Royce, the Rolls-Royce Cullinan. Now, I don't know if it's correct pronunciation, and I don't care, because I think putting forth the effort of giving this company the correct pronunciation on their product legitimizes them putting a six-figure price tag on a car. When I say six figures, I don't mean like, oh, $100,000 car. What's it? No, this is $330,000. It's the real-life Rolls-Royce. And if you're not familiar with Rolls-Royce, everything's put together by hand, right? And I'm not the only one that's pissed off about it. The dogs are pissed off about it, as you just heard. Now, sorry, I had stuff written down and I just kind of got lost for a second. Now, so I went to this website, and the website's going to be available so you can see the price tag for yourself. Now, because the miniature here, it is advertised as an 8th scale model of this Rolls-Royce, and you put in the thing or whatever. Now, I want to have a Price is Right. Now, I'm going to read the description, right? I want a Price is Right game. I'm going to read the description, and then you three are going to give me bids at what you think the starting price is, okay? Cool?
And you say it's worth more than your car.
It's worth more than my car.
Okay.
You ready?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think I'm going to go with 70.
Hold on, wait. Shut up, Greg. I'm not even done. I know what you're trying to do, and I'm not going to let you do it. I'm going to read the description, and then you guys will get bids. Okay? And then when all I right. say it's more expensive than my car, I'm driving a 2017 Toyota Corolla. Okay? So shut up, Greg. It's worth more than $75. Anyhow. And I'll do the British accent because that's what would be expected in one of these things. So, introducing the Rolls-Royce Motor Cars 8-scale model, not only an extraordinary reproduction of a full-size Rolls-Royce motor car, but each is a beautiful work of art in its own right, displaying unparalleled levels of exterior, interior, and engine detail. Each model is painstakingly crafted by hand from over 1,000 individual components, the result of up to 450 hours of precision work. Each model is painted and polished by hand using the same paint used on a Rolls-Royce motor car, ensuring the model is indistinguishable from the real thing. Truly representing the Rolls-Royce of model cars. These unique models are USB powered and encompass full opening and closing features, doors, luggage compartment, and engine compartment, as well as a remote operated LED lighting. The Rolls-Royce Cullinan 8th scale model is available in tungsten arctic white, presented on an elegant display base and encased in a removable Perspex cover. Also available completely bespoke to match your Cullinan and presented in an enhanced display case. Now, I will say this right now. I know the accent started British and I don't know where it went. Reading this, I read this multiple times with the accent, but last night and to practice, right? But reading it aloud right now, and it's me in my head. I'm telling people this, and I already said it's more than my car. So I got hot about starting myself off by saying this is more than my car, and then I went to describe it. So I lost focus, and I apologize. I lost focus on the accent and just went into this some sort of I do a mockery voiceover, so I apologize. It wasn't accurate, but the description is still the same. I said all the words on this, you know, the new stupid thing. So how about some bids? What do you guys got?
$1.
Of course. Dan, the starting price.
I think the new Rod Roddy sounds like a douche. Starting price. I feel like it might actually be ridiculously high. $1,700.
Okay, Greg?
I don't know.
I'm going to say I'll go with a nice even 10,000.
Okay, so check this out.
I thought we were on the bidding website. So we're done? Did we just get one bid?
Well, no, it's like Price is Right. Everybody lists their price.
Price is Right.
Oh, okay.
Price is Right.
Usually dollars.
Okay.
Yeah, Todd. You don't do that first because that's very easy for.
All right.
No, if it's Price is Right rules.
Nope, stop it. We're not. We're moving on. All right. The model, when you go to the website and you put that in your cart, the cost is $27,360. $27,000! $27,000 for a toy car! Are you kidding? I can't even, like, I have lost the strength in half my body because of how stupid that sounds. And I've read this. I had to back away from the microphone a little bit because I was yelling. Now, I read this multiple times last night, and I thought, wow. And I wrote about it. And I'm like, wow. But actually saying this and just telling you guys, and I know that we do this audio version, but we record on Be Live and we see each other's reactions. And I saw Greg's head just immediately just hang. And it's like, yeah, it's that stupid. And what I did in my head is I saw that expression and I multiplied that times whoever's listening. I had a generic person listening in my head that I visualized having a more more expressive reaction. Greg, I'm not saying that was not an expressive reaction, but you are pretty much done with that beer right now. I'm sure there's somebody that's not drunk or not even buzzed that heard that and just $27,000.
I mean, my car,
some people make it a year.
You know
my
what?
My car looks like a toy car, but it actually is a car and is like more than half as much as that is.
I just want to say the one thing to be positive about, at least it wasn't 37.
Ha. 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 You know, we need to come up with a drop for when you drop a Dante reference, just in case. Just in case somebody that's listening is like, wait, that kind of, I'm not sure I get. Then they hear the Dante and it's like, oh, right, Clerks.
That's some more work for me.
Hey, no, you're the one that wanted to, like, I'm just trying to make sure this is fun for everybody.
You're trying to reduce for me?
No, I'm just trying to make things fun. That's okay. All. I'm not trying to make things inclusive. Right. So, but here's the thing. So it's like $27,000 on this, $350 on the other thing. It's like the people who are buying these products caught the blue crabs. All right.
Call back.
That's hello.
Some expensive shampoo.
All right. Okay, so first question we got is in the category of music, and if this is your first time listening, I'm going to play a song after the question, and it has something to do with the question, and it is going to be something complex, a complex connection. So this is all in the quest for stupid. Question is, Blinded by the Light, a number one hit in 1977 for Manfred Mann's Earth Band, was written and originally recorded by what Rock and Roll Hall of Famer? Once again, Blinded by the Light, a number one hit in 1977 for Manfred Mann's Earth Band, was written and originally recorded by what Rock and Roll Hall of Famer? Now, funny thing about the song, as I mentioned, it is the week that we were supposed to have E3, so each of the songs I'm going to have is going to have some sort of connection to a video game, too. So, more work for me, huh? But in the quest for stupid, we'll be back in a couple minutes with the answer.
Andy Kaufman in the wrestling match. Monopoly 21, checkers and chess. Mr. Fred Lassie in a breakfast mess. Let's play Twister, let's play Risk. About this one, tell me, are you locked in the punt? Andy, are you goofing on Elvis too, baby? Are we losing touch? If you believe they put a man on the moon, man on the moon. If you believe there's nothing up his sleeve, then nothing is ship was troubled by the horrible ask. Yeah, 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 yeah. Mr. Charles Darwin had the golden pass. Yeah, 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 yeah. Now, Andy, did you hear about this one? Tell me, are you locked in the pond? Yeah, Andy, are you goofing on Elvis?
Hey, baby.
By the Light, a number one hit in 1977 for Manfred Mann's Earth Band, was written and originally recorded by what Rock and Roll Hall of Famer? Song I'm playing was Man on the Moon by R.E.M. because Man on the Moon, in addition to being a song about Andy Kaufman, was also the title of a movie about Andy Kaufman starring Jim Carrey, who also starred as the villain in the film adaptation of Sonic the Hedgehog as Dr. Robotnik, who was always the boss. And in music, there's only one boss, and that is Bruce Springsteen. Bruce Springsteen being the correct answer.
The answer I did have, but the connection, not even close. So you I knew Andy Kaufman, that's about it.
You know where I thought he was going?
Did you know Bruce Springsteen, though?
I did. Absolutely did.
But you didn't get it from the song?
No, I got it from the actual question.
Oh, okay.
I thought because Jerry the King Lawler was also in Man on the Moon that it was
a wrestling.
Wait, no, hold on a second. I wanted to see where this was going to go. Okay. But so you thought because
Jerry the King Lawler, Elvis was the king. Somehow I thought you were going to get to some Elvis.
I mean, that's part of the fun is that when somebody creates a labyrinth, they are going to create some dead ends. And, you know, it's fun seeing you reach that dead end. It's nothing personal. It is kind of fun to watch.
I should have got that too. I just was producing when the first time the question.
I was typing this. I was like, I think Todd might get this connection. He's gonna call me out. But I dodged a bullet there.
Be glad I was paying half attention doing producing stuff.
Oh, come on.
I know. I heard it the second time.
I wasn't paying 100% attention, but if I was, I would have got it.
A loss is a loss, Todd.
All right, so I mentioned earlier E3 was due to be this week, and if you're not familiar with E3, it's the Electronics Entertainment Expo. Basically, it's a convention about video games. And circa 2006, I was working at Disney at the time, and I was, quote, outsourced to Buena Vista Games. Now, I was going to be a demonstrator for the Nightmare Before Christmas game, and I had spent 3 days the prior week to this convention learning everything about the demo, playing multiple times, finding multiple ways to complete the level's objectives. And there was just two levels in the game, but I knew those levels like the back of my hand. Now, come the day of the convention, each company gets its own giant booth. Sometimes they're small, sometimes they're big enough where they can have like a small reception desk and members of the media will come in and check in and ask to see a demonstration of the game or ask to interview one of the creators or something, right? Now, this game was a port, so it was a port of the Japanese game. So there wasn't a creator. There was the people, like the developers that worked on the port itself, and then the demonstrators, which was me. So just two people at this booth. Well, there was two demonstrators. I'm semantic, whatever. This lady from the reception desk comes over with the media, a radio group, and then they say, they're going to do an interview with you about the game. And I was like, cool, but I think they want to talk to the developer. And she says, no, you'll be fine. And then she turns to, this is Ozzy, and he'll help you out. And she just walks off. I'm like, okay. And then in this moment, now, it is so loud. I mean, it's like Vegas times 100, and I'm not exaggerating, because everything's indoors, and everything's so loud because everybody wants your attention. So it is so loud that the minute she leaves, this guy comes in, and he introduces himself. He's like, hey, nice to meet you. So just, you know, we're going to go live in 30 seconds. I'm just going to ask a couple questions. You good? Like, and then I paused right there. And I thought to myself, man, if I did not go to broadcasting school, I would be shitting my pants right now. 100%. So it's like, all right, let's do it. And then plus, I mean, I've been working at Disney at this point for 4 or 5 years. So, I mean, positively spewing BS I do in my sleep. So that was not an issue. So he comes up, and I'm going to paraphrase the names of networks or host names because that doesn't ring true or I don't recall those particular details, just the meat of it, which excuse me now. All right, ladies and gentlemen, this is Larry the Gamer Guy here at E3 for VGN Central, and right now I'm here with Ozzy, who worked on a U.S. port of the upcoming Nightmare Before Christmas game for Buena Vista Games. Stop you right there. He already said right here, I worked on the game. Already false information. Now, he did start with an easy question. Ozzy, how confident are you on this port? Does it do the movie justice? I'm paraphrasing, of course. And I gave a simple, generic reply. I was working. I explained with the Disney thing, and I made it sound like $1 million. That was not a problem. But then he said, "What was the biggest challenge in porting over this version of the game?" That moment right there is where, like, it's that moment in life where just instantly a giant wave of sweat just comes over your body and you have no idea what's about to happen. And that's what makes you sweat so much. You're about to explode and the sweat's trying to cool you down and you have no idea what you're going to do. And then that's, I harnessed every single bit of BS from my BS gland to its maximum efficiency. And I said, well, Larry, collision detection, fixing Jack walking through tombstones and walls, but his attacks are working very well, and it's actually quite fun. And then he replies, sounds great. Thank you so much for your time, Ozzy. Mike, Sandy, back to you. Mike, that just happened? What just happened? Right? And get this. When I was done with this whole thing, I turn around, and one of the guys who worked on the game must have seen and heard everything. Because he was staring a hole of fire through me. My God. Yeah. So, as the E3 story.
Was the game any good?
It wasn't terrible. I would have rated... Now, I only played 2 levels. But of what I got to do, I would actually give it like... a 6.5 out of 10 of what I played. Like, yeah, it was fun. But then, like, you know, ultimately, I mean, well, it's tough to look back now, especially, you know, in the amount of details. And I have this PlayStation Now gimmick, which, by the way, they're not a sponsor. But I mean, if you're just one of those people that just likes to play random games, that the PlayStation Now is what you want, because you can pay $42 and you've got 12 months of this service. It's an insane deal. Now, anyway, I apologize. But going back and seeing the detail in the older games is like, oh, wow, these are dated games. And that's what I recall about that Nightmare Before Christmas game. But I try to recall the fun factor. And the fun factor was about a 6.5 out of 10. And that's a callback to the GamePro. Before their rating systems were my favorite as a kid. I know I'd like totally nerding out or whatever, but you can't just give one number out of 10. You had the fun factor, you had the graphics, you had the controls, and I think the sound was like the fourth thing. Mm-hmm. And I'd always watch out for the fun factor. I wouldn't care about the other stuff. I mean, like, okay, visuals and sound had a 1, I wouldn't pay attention. But that's the rating system I want. Interesting. I'm sorry, that was another mini rant. What do you guys got this week?
Yeah. Oh, not everyone at once. I got nothing.
I mean, if you guys got nothing, I got another question, another song that I... Oh, man. I love this week. I wish I could do, like, video game stuff every week, to be honest. But, you know, it's a special week.
If we want to go video games, another fun gig I got to do for a little while was I worked for Guitar Hero, which was... awesome. And I'm going to leave out some of the story, but the biggest part was we were testers. It was a lot of fun working on Guitar Hero Aerosmith. And at one point in time, Steven Tyler, who was in for his motion capturing, dude walks in and says thank you to everyone. And we're just like, man, this is amazing. Steven Tyler's coming by. This guy's a rock god. And after he says his thank yous, you know, says he's really loving the game, loves how it looks. He goes, all right, I'm going to go have a drink, smoke a bowl, and then get back to work. And I was like, you are a rock star, sir. So, yeah. No, it was a brilliant, fun moment in my gaming life.
Now, just to make sure everybody's on the same page, when Steven Tyler said he was going to smoke a bowl, he was not going to smoke a bowl of cereal.
Yes, that is for sure.
He was going to partake in the now legal marijuana. So everybody, let's relax. Just in case. Good. I got to clarify. I know Dan looked puzzled for a second. Dan looked a little puzzled, so just had to clarify. It was not a bowl of cereal.
I have one, not me again.
About smoking a bowl of cereal?
No. Well, I've probably smoked a few bowls of cereal, but Count Chocula, you know, you got to get the, you know. So as Flesh Wound Horror listeners know, I'm a big convention guy. So I'm friends with a lot of people that handle celebrities. And I met this one guy I knew forever, hanging out with him in line. And he was telling me who he was repping that week. I won't actually say who it is, the celebrity, but some people may get it if you've been to a lot of conventions. So he's telling me, he's like, I've got this big problem with this celebrity and I don't know how I'm gonna break it to him. And I was like, oh, well, what do you mean? And he's like, you noticed something? And I kind of turn and look at the celebrity, who was just probably barely out of earshot, but you know, you could see him at his table. And I was like, no, what? It's like, look a little lower. So I look down and this celebrity has his balls hanging out of his shorts. There's no delicate way to put that. And believe it or not, some people are going to know exactly who that is because he wears these weird raggedy shorts to all these conventions. And you know who it is, Todd.
I do.
You know what? Just say it. You can't do this.
Oh, okay.
No, you're not. I'm not going to see.
Calm down, Flat Top.
Whoa, I don't.
Hey.
Calm down, Flat Top.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm telling you who it was, Flat Top.
Okay, enough with the Flat Top.
Well, it's Dick Tracy, so come on, put it all together.
I got a thin D.
He's not going to get it from that.
How do you not know what that's from?
Undercover Brother, but I don't remember the actor who said
it. No, it's not.
No, I've seen the movie where he complains about his constantly thin D, so.
That's not Undercover Brother.
You're going to get into a Dan argument. I'm just.
I don't, yeah, it's not no, about that. Who was the celebrity, Dan? Say it.
I guess this one's not bad. I mean, but.
Dan, say it.
William Forsythe, who was in Deuce Bigelow, Male Gigolo.
That's what.
Who was Flat Top and Dick Tracy?
And you notice how Todd knew who it was right away because these shorts have become legend. And yes. There was some nutsack.
I think I saw this guy at Disneyland. Dan was so excited. I'm not kidding. I think I saw this guy at Disneyland because I recall as a club owner for the show Club Buzz, I was sitting with another club owner. Now, our job was to host the show, so to speak, so to keep kids entertained until the show started. And myself and some other club owners are just kind of like joking around with kids or whatever, like, whatever, we had like these games, and then I see someone who's, and it's like a summer in July, right? So this guy's like totally like man spreading in the front row, and it's like, I know I don't need glasses, but is that? And I like, oh my god, that is. And I like tap somebody on the shoulder and like, hey, look at the front row right there. And like, I see them look up and not even a reaction, just like, I hate you. Just not even changing anything, because when you're in front of kids, just under the breath, like, I hate you. Yeah. All right. Well, fun times, fun story time this week. Now, second question is in the field of sports. Greg, nah, this is an NHL one. So, oh, man, may get it without the song, but the song I have also very fun connection. All right. What NHL team defeated the Vancouver Canucks in the 1994 Stanley Cup Finals to win their first championship since 1940? It is also to date their most recent Stanley Cup championship. Once again, what NHL team defeated the Vancouver Canucks in the 1994 Stanley Cup Finals to win their first championship since 1940? It is also to date their most recent Stanley Cup championship. We'll be back in a couple minutes with the answer.
She stood there bright as the sun on that California coast. He was a Midwestern boy on his own. She looked at him with those soft eyes so innocent and blue. He knew right then he was too far from home. Too far from home. She took his hand and she led him along that golden beach. They watched the waves tumble over the sand. They drove for miles and miles up those twisting, turning roads.
Defeated the Vancouver Canucks in the 1994 Stanley Cup Finals to win their first championship since 1940. It is also, to date, their most recent Stanley Cup championship. Song I had playing was Hollywood Nights by Bob Seger and the Silver Bullet Band, because silver is what was yelled by the Lone Ranger, but it wasn't a Lone Ranger. They were the New York Rangers.
I did get it.
Did you get the connection?
No, not at all.
Not even close.
Well, I told you. That's like proprietary stuff right there. I don't need to trademark it because no one can get it. Dan, how'd you fare on that one?
I thought, since they hadn't won a Super Bowl, maybe the Raiders won that. But
okay. First of all, it was about hockey. Second of all, Raiders weren't even around in the 1940s. There's not even a third of all. I just wanted to say first of all. And I had to follow it up with the second of all, even though it was just 2 points.
Normally, did they win?
2 points. I wouldn't start off with a first of all, but I wanted to start off with a first of all so bad.
Did they win a Super Bowl in the last 70 years then, starting in the,
77, 80, 83. All right?
It's a long time. Oh. I don't think any of us were born.
I get it. Point taken. Yeah. Thank you. Moving on.
Although, they may be in New York eventually with how often they move.
Are you kidding me right now? We're not doing this.
Will you still love them if they're New York?
This is not about football right now. What it is about is a deep question. The deep question I had is you have a phone booth from Bill and Ted, and an alien arrives and asks you to show them the three greatest moments in human history. Where do you take them? Now, I got to compose myself a little bit, so I'm going to let you guys go first.
I do got a question before this, and maybe should have talked about this beforehand, but are we allowed to go check out the place first? Because we haven't experienced all of, history.
That's the fun of it.
Okay. All right. All right. Cool.
Because here's the thing. Now, this doesn't mean like this is a history professor that, gets this time or this phone booth. It's you, like, at this moment on June, we're recording this on Sunday, June 7th, but today, you get the phone booth. Where's the three places you take this alien?
By the way, Doctor Who phone booth would have been much cooler. Nonetheless.
I'm shocked we didn't get the DeLorean.
The TARDIS, that would be known as.
Yeah, you're a TARDIS.
Shut up, Tom.
So, I think the three places I would go, I do have some bias towards one of these places. For those of you listening, you've probably already understood. I have an affinity for Disneyland and the opening of Disneyland, but more than just because of my appreciation for it. I do think it's a good showing of what we are as people, because it was a place that people, like, it was something unlike anything else. It was so different. Everyone said, it couldn't be done in time. And they still opened it up on time. Granted, wasn't completely finished. And much like humans, a little bit flawed. So I think it encompasses the creativity and also some of the shortcomings of humanity. And then it was tough on some of the next ones. I think I'm going to go with Live Aid, because it did show a moment where the whole world came together. And if we're going to have aliens coming, I want to show them the good stuff, not be like, look, we're horrible people. so, yeah.
Uh-oh.
And then the last one is I'd take them back to either Stonehenge or the pyramids to try to be like, caught you in the act, because we don't know necessarily. but, it would just be fun. Take them back.
I'm going to have to call an audible because pyramids were on my list. so, mine might be a little dumber, but why not? I would take...
This is a show about stupid, remember.
That's where I went with. I'm trying to have the dumbest one.
here it is. First, I bond with the alien by taking it back to Anaheim, WrestleMania 12, main event, HBK versus Bret Hart. And I want to recreate the entrance where I can be like fat HBK coming down on that wire thing with an alien. That would be awesome.
I retract my statement.
Shut up.
I said I was going for the dumbest one there.
Brilliant.
Also exceeded the parameters of the guidelines of the question. You're altering history right there. I wanted you to show the greatest moments.
He doesn't comprehend that.
All right. Well, I guess I don't get my entrance, but all right, cool. I just take him there to watch.
I was going
to
say that match isn't that good, so even wasted and that one.
Do a, like, Paul disguise, like, from the movie or something, and just watch the show. All right. Then we go party in Greece on the Isle of Lesbos. Again, continue to show the alien a good time. Then we go, and this is where my master plan kicks in. Once I have this alien's trust, we go to, and I don't have an exact year for this, it's sort of general, but we go back to the ancient Mayans, who are a very advanced culture that I can then talk the alien into taking them over, becoming like a god figure. They could just call me the Hat. Of course, it's history forever. I know that doesn't fit in.
Dan didn't really get the question.
Can you imagine? Then they're like building these giant statues. I already know what's coming. I can take out everyone. Boom.
Well, I should have known better that Dan would have the dumbest. See, I didn't know we were going to go to places we kind of wanted to see ourselves. So I took the aliens first to the set of the moon landing. And then two to the Roswell crash site.
He was probably there.
And three, so they know not to F with us, to the Independence Day premiere.
Oh, man.
This is a true story. What are you going to do when they, like, kill, like, Jaden Smith, then, to, like...
Thank them? I don't know.
Oh, we don't wish death upon anybody. Let's not misconstrue that.
Especially
but...
not young children.
Precisely.
No, he's not even a child anymore. So.
But yeah, we don't promote violence. Well, I just want to clear point that out there.
The aliens.
So you guys had both said things, or Todd, yours was so completely out of left field, and I loved it so much. But Greg and Dan, you guys caught me off, or not off guard, but you guys both said something that I wanted to. Ancient Greece. Not because of a party on Lesbos, but I wanted to see I wanted to, like, show him Socrates. Like, check it out, right? That's what I want to see, that sort of stuff going on and these people having these conversations. I'd also want to take them to the Italian Renaissance and seeing so many people just create all the sort of art, because it's really, I feel, the spirit of human nature. You take away any financial whatever, if somehow, like, let's just say these aliens were going to be like, hey, here's houses and here's just, like, food that grows in your backyard and you don't need to do anything, what would people do? They'd eventually create art. I think that's where it would eventually come out to. So I'd want to see that. And for the last one, actually, I guess you guys didn't say this. I'd want to take them to the golden era of classical music. Personally, I think that like all music stemmed from there, and that's what I'd want, like, in terms of, like, hey, this is the human spirit. You get debate in Greece, you get art in Italy, and then you get, I guess, just over Europe, you get the music there. Those three things are the takeaways that I'd want to give this alien being.
Are you sure after meeting Socrates, you wouldn't want to take him to go to that Club Buzz show to see Socrates?
Man, I thought it was so great, so I'm just keep going.
How do you know they don't have music already, though? I mean,
because my point would be, here's, okay, so that's your music. This is our music.
Yeah.
Yeah, like that golden disc situation.
There you go. Yeah.
The golden disc they sent on one of the not a rover, but there was a shuttle that went out that has a golden disc that's supposed to encompass all the sounds of Earth and different music from around the world and such.
Hmm.
It's interesting.
It's a weird collection of music. You should look it up. It's definitely got an odd assortment of sounds and music on it.
Golden Disc.
I hope Rob Zombie's on that.
I'm just writing this.
Dragula, come on. You'd ride around the spaceships with the robots.
Okay, so let's get this straight. We have a society who does not know anything about our species, and we give them an item that says, this is what we listen to. And the first song they hear is Dragula. You think they're going to want to talk to us?
Dig through the ditches that burn. They'd probably be trying to figure out what it is.
They'd first try to figure out the words, the lyrics would be something else. And this is another thing with the Golden Age of classical music, is that there are no lyrics. So you have, again, I've said it, but I just love the song, Vivaldi's Presto Spring on there, or Summer. That's pretty cool. That's I think you can get a mutual connection with music that you can't get in linguistics.
But what if these aliens, their planet was taken over by zombies and witches, and they're like, you're being proactive digging through said ditches and burning the witches.
Boom. He has no answer. He's stumped.
It's not that I have no answer. I just needed time to formulate the one I was about to give. And that being the percentages of witches causing death to a planet in its entirety is extremely low. And due to this percentage, witches going through a planet, Dan. Why are you shaking your head?
How do you know a witch isn't responsible for 2020?
And we've only got one planet to worry about. You know, how many other, you know, places are there in this universe that potentially do have a plethora of witches?
We don't see the broomsticks because they're in space.
Boom.
Ladies and gentlemen, I told you we were going to get stupid. And nobody can argue this. You're guaranteed stupidity here. The 100% guarantee. Or your money back. I know you're thinking, I didn't pay anything. That's still stupid. All right. Last question of the day. Or the week, rather. Let's see. Who is the only U.S. president to graduate from the United States Naval Academy? Once again, who is the only U.S. president to graduate from the United States Naval Academy? Now, I didn't mention this earlier, but the Bob Seger song, that was on the soundtrack, or that's on GTA 5. The song I have here is also in a video game somewhere. It's something to do with the answer. We'll be back in a couple minutes with that answer. Said you took a big trip. They said you moved away. Happened all so quietly, they say.
You sailed a big ship.
is the only U.S. president to graduate from the United States Naval Academy. Cyan Plane was Everyone Says Hi, the Metro remix by David Bowie, specifically because that song was featured on the PlayStation 2 version of Amplitude. But I chose a song by David Bowie because he played the role of Tesla in the film The Prestige, co-starring Michael Caine, who was the star of the 1971 British crime film Get Carter. His correct answer is Jimmy Carter. Yeah, no, that was good. That was good stuff right there.
Good movie.
Necessarily so. No. I'm just saying. I'm commenting on the connection there. Wasn't even stupid. That's a. Come on.
I knew the answer. I didn't know. Patting
myself on the back right now. Come on. I see.
Not the first time.
Yeah. Well.
Now, Barry Horowitz.
Do you guys have any guesses on that, Carter? Just by.
No, I thought it was Carter.
I knew the answer, but I didn't know the song
connection.
Yeah,
I'm undefeated on that connection. Excellent.
I thought you were going to go somewhere with Metroid.
could have been, but it's actually very difficult to get video game songs in this avenue to connect to an answer that isn't just a blatant video game song. If you know what I mean. I can't exactly play the 8-bit theme of Tetris, can I?
You could.
Well, I mean, I can, but meh, you know what I mean. All right, so everybody, we've reached stupidity even before the end, and I hope you enjoyed your stupidity, and we'll be back next week for some more stupidity. In the meantime, you can check out fleshwoundfeatures.com for some other stupid episodes of KFWF Radio, and you could also check on the Patreon for exclusive content where you can check out the off-air comments that we talk about before we jump on here. And, of course, I'm going to be hosting trivia again Wednesday at Los Alamitos at Griffin's Grill, beginning at 7:30, free to play. Prizes if you want to join. More info on my social media page, Ozzy_V. Anything you want to share with you guys?
Anybody want to, like, pimp out their Tinder? You know, things are going back to normal. I don't know. I don't have anything.
I think Dan's trying to.
Apparently, yeah.
Feeling the waters here.
But, yeah, nah, okay.
That's okay. That's okay. You make the rules on this one, Ozzy. I'll pass.
Sounds good. Well, for Greg, Dan, Todd, this is Ozzy. We'll see you next week. Have a good one.
I'm traveling blind, trapped in dark.